What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up live in Frisco, Texas at Big 12 Football Media Days. We are live here for day one of two. It's B&E with you on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a great weekend, great Bud Light weekend. I certainly did. I needed them for my wife's 30th high school reunion, which I attended on Saturday night. Had to have a couple of Bud Lights because I didn't know anybody, and she did. And you know, I met my wife's first kiss, her first crush.
Did you smack him in the mouth?
Oh, of course.
Come on, smack that dude.
No, you know, but no, they're two different people. Her first kiss, she didn't even remember who it was. Some kid in elementary school or something. But, no, we had a good time there down in the Woodlands and then back here. And now we're in Dallas for Big 12 Media Days where it's up and running. It's football fast and furious with five teams today, five more tomorrow. Longhorns will be part of the contingent tomorrow, but top storylines today will be a couple of the favorites. Oklahoma and TCU are here.
Yes.
I think as far as, you know, established programs and credible programs, they're the two strongest right now the Big 12 has. I mean, apologies to Oklahoma State, who with Mike Gundy seems to churn out 10-win seasons consistently now. With Gary Patterson and TCU in that defense and Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma in that offense, those will be the main storylines today. Throw in Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. Kansas and Iowa State rounded out, but I think those big three will be the centers of attention
for sure.
Today with Gary and Coach Riley and Cliff. And so bottom of this hour, we'll get a preview of TCU with Brian Estrich. He's the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. His thoughts on Gary Patterson. Also, Brian knows Chris Del Conte very well, having worked with Chris at TCU for years. So
that'd be great.
We'll pick his brain a little bit on what TCU is bringing to the table in 2018.
Also, I've got to thank Michaela over at Brio. I took my annual trek with the Texas Cheaters, and you know, every year, we try to get together about every quarter at a place where we talk about community and things that we're doing and what we're looking forward to as people and families and stuff. And we went to the Brio at the Arboretum on Friday.
Nice.
And had a nice dinner there. And Michaela, and of course, did a fantastic job in a five-course meal, which they are just absolutely – the food there is ridiculous up there in Arboretum. And Robert and Kayla waited on us. And just want to say to Kayla up there, keep up the good work. And she's doing some things to make herself a better young lady. And she and I talked about, you know, she's 6 months into her plan. And for her to keep on going in the right direction, I want to wish her well. But thanks to the folks at the Brio. And if you've never been to the Brio, take a ride up there.
Is it the Brio or just Brio?
Brio.
Okay.
Brio. Right there across from the hotel.
Renaissance Hotel.
You know the one, Renaissance Hotel.
That's right.
That's a big buddy of the show.
All right. Hope everybody had a great weekend. On Mondays, we'll take your good, your bad, and your ugly from your weekend. And we'll hit the coach's corner. We'll talk to the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs coming up. Wags, Adam Wagner, running the show this morning as our resident Marine and veteran will be leading us through Hot or Not this hour. Let's start the hour as we do each with the headlines of a busy weekend. UBO Business Services brings you the news, always from the Ticket City Update Desk, and we'll start with world sports. How about soccer? The French are the World Cup champions. Right. France defeats Croatia yesterday 4-2 in the World Cup final in Moscow. Les Bleus, as they call them, capture their second World Cup title ever. Won, of course, back in 1998 when they hosted the tournament 20 years ago. They win it again. They might be the favorites again to win it in 2022. Also at Wimbledon over the weekend, Novak Djokovic won the men's title for the fourth time, comfortably beating the depleted Kevin Anderson in the men's final. Angelique Gerber neutralized Serena Williams. She takes the women's crown. Baseball, how about the All-Star break on tap? We'll preview that coming up, but first, the games from yesterday. Justin Verlander with a puzzling day, facing his former team for the first time ever, the Detroit Tigers, making his first start ever against Detroit. Verlander racked up double-digit strikeouts with dominant with 12, but he also gave up four home runs to the team with the fewest home runs in the American League as the Tigers hammered four big flies off of Verlander in a 6-3 win. Verlander becomes just the fourth pitcher in MLB history to give up four or more home runs in a game while striking out 12 or more. Verlander now, along with five of his fellow Astros and manager A.J. Hinch and his coaching staff, are headed to D.C., our nation's capital, for the All-Star Game. It'll be Verlander along with fellow pitchers Garrett Cole and the newly added Charlie Morton. Morton was added as a starter on Friday. They'll be there along with Jose Altuve, George Springer, and Alex Bregman. Bregman will be making his first trip to the Midsummer Classic and will participate in tonight's home run derby. He leads the Astros with a career-high 20 home runs. Rangers fell in Baltimore 6-5 yesterday. They dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend at Camden Yard. They've lost 7 of their last 9. Sin-Shu Chu did open the game with a walk. He extends his club record streak of games on base with games on base to 51. He's the lone Ranger headed to the All-Star Game. And in golf, it was Michael Kim winning his first ever PGA event. 25-year-old shot a final round 66 yesterday. He wins the John Deere Classic by 8 strokes. He also earns a spot in this week's British Open at Carnoustie. Speaking of the British Open, how about former Longhorn Jordan Spieth, the defending champion there? They'll tee it off on Thursday. We also over the weekend saw former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, current broadcaster, and aspiring pro golfer Tony Romo rally from 4 points back to win his first American Century Championship at Lake Tahoe, the celebrity event. Romo claims top celebrity golfer honors for 2018. And that's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Your boy Romo was rolling in some putts, man.
Yeah, he was.
Rolling in some putts. You know, he was bringing it in Lake Tahoe.
That didn't get into the Open? No, that celebrity tournament.
Michael Kim becomes another first-time winner on the PGA Tour this year. Dominant Sunday. We keep seeing that over and over on these.
There's a lot of players out there right now that can play.
Yeah, and those courses are too dang easy, and that's where.
Well, they didn't have a big field of big stars anyway. Those guys getting ready to be at the Open.
Well, it'll be fun. Remember, I mean, we'll talk British Open come Wednesday and Thursday as we really launch into that. It's all about football here, but you know, Jordan Spieth back 9 last year, legendary on his way. To a claret jug, and so we'll see coming back this year how this thing plays out. You've picked Tiger Woods to win this bad boy, so we shall see. But we've got plenty of football on the brain. We'll preview TCU coming up. Also coming up in our coach's corner, we'll talk about Cliff Kingsbury and what his team has coming back in 2018. But so your weekend. So in addition to the high school reunion, Buck took in the Astros game on Friday, and this was unbelievable to sit there, and we were right behind the dugout. So I took my daughter and her best friend, Kayla, and so we were so close. I mean, these girls were blushing because, like, the players would wave at them. You know what I mean? You know how teenage girls will be.
Of course.
They have a huge crush on George Springer, and it was so funny. I mean, they're right there. And so I want to thank my friend Reed Ryan again, the president of the Astros, who Reed's on his way to Greece on an all-star trip with his family. They always go somewhere for the all-star game. Also saw Nolan while we were there. Nolan Ryan, of course, and his wife were there. So, yeah, we were sitting in the good seats.
And in the catbird seats.
I guess that's what they call them. That's where we were. So it was a good time. Good weekend for sure. And you had a good one as well. I tried.
I did. I had a good weekend. I just kind of, you know, I came up and wanted to be around here. I just enjoy coming up here. I enjoy this whole area right here, this Frisco, because it's like coming to a new town. It's like a brand new town that rose up out of nowhere up here, you know?
It is. It's
it just is.
Build it and they will come, and they have. And Jerry Jones had the vision to build this complex. And now, year two that we're here, this complex is fully evolved. And, you know, really, I mean, you've got this is where the Cowboys train and practice facility, but then they've got, you know, right across the street is like a sports hospital, or I'm sure that's where all the players go to see specialists and orthopedics and those kind of things. And, you know, I mean, they're right across the street.
And I wonder if they're housed right here at the hotel for 2 days right here.
No. Remember, they go to Oxnard.
They don't do anything here.
Yeah, Dallas will be going to Oxnard later.
It's just weird because you can do everything. You can do. You have a facility that has everything in the world.
Yeah, no, I mean.
And a hotel right beside you.
Yeah, and now what's built up around the Star Complex is kind of a domain-looking complex with shops and restaurants and just going either direction. The Omni Hotel is here. It really is quite the spectacle here in Frisco, Texas. So
yeah, you just get on the George Bush and just keep on coming. That's what it is.
Oh, the Dallas Tollway.
Yeah, or the Tollway. Yeah,
the Dallas Tollway right out of downtown. And 19 miles from the Tollway to here is what it is, according to the app.
But it's a little different for me because I always hit a place called Lone Star Park. So I come to the Arlington area.
Oh, you have to go to the track.
Yes, I have
and
to
I heard
do
you,
that.
You drug our young producer Brad Kellner to the track with you to begin his delinquency.
And what a day for him yesterday. A little lunch, and then, of course.
You took Brad to the track?
He has to learn the ways of the Jedi, and he put a couple of nice bills into his pocket yesterday, too.
Thanks to Uncle Buck?
Yes, indeed.
Nice. That's good on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Nice job. So playing the ponies with Brad Kellner, of course, will be part of our live coverage here at Big 12 Football Media Days. He and Trey Elling will be live as Trey's back from vacation at 10 o'clock this morning. Rod Babers will be here live 1 to 3 with the Rodcast as we go from 6 a.m. until 3 today and tomorrow. Thank you to our friends at Reliable Automotive. Keep it local. Keep it reliable. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
So when you took our young 24-year-old producer to the track.
You make it sound like it's like a bad thing.
I'm not.
You know who else?
What were you coaching him on? How do you coach someone who doesn't know a lot about the horses to know something about the horses?
Numbers. He'll be able to tell you. When he comes out, he'll be able to tell you about numbers. Certain numbers run together. They tend to. 6 and 3 kind of run together. He found that out yesterday. I told him, I said, you'll see.
What does that mean? Like the horses numbered 6 and 3 run together?
Yeah, they seem to run together.
Why?
And he noticed that I play 617 straight, the area code of Massachusetts, where I won $5,000 on a $2 bet.
That's strategic.
That's just, yeah, a lot of strategy to that. Just an area code. The other area code that runs together pretty well is 512, our area code back at home. And so he got a taste of the 3-6. He's like, whoa. 3-6, 3-6 is running together all day long.
It has nothing to do
long.
With, like, times and who's fast and who's not.
We don't sit there with a magazine. I don't waste my time with that kind of stuff. We look at colors. We look at numbers. And he got a
secretaries?
He got a picture of the 6-3 number that kind of ran together yesterday. And this guy is, like, playing the 6-3. Well, there were 4 trifectas hit yesterday by us. One was 170. One was 133. One was $78. There were a couple exactas hit. One exacta paid $90-some. And Brad Kellner went with a big smile, like looked at me and said, horse whisperer over there. Let's go. Let's
Can't
go.
Can't wait to hear BK's side of this coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. You should lock it in as well. So that'll be
he
part
started
of-
to tell me how to do things after a little bit, which was really, really funny.
Nice. So it's just numbers. There's no strategy to it.
Well, no, I don't play strategy. Why waste my time? I've seen too many guys that look at all kinds of have all kinds of magazines in front of them, go home throwing papers up in the air and stuff like that. It doesn't happen to me that often. I get into a certain number. If you can get a certain number that's hot throughout the day when you're playing all different tracks around America, that number seems to be the way to go. I mean, there's nothing tricky to it. It's just a number.
I'm with you.
It's
I'm
just
with
a
you,
number.
So.
I'll tell you what's intriguing me, though. Speaking of numbers, the intriguing team for me at this year's Big 12 media event here is West Virginia. And what will they be? What can they do?
Yeah, they'll be here tomorrow, along with Texas and the rest. I mean, Kansas State tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, they're look, when you look at the pass efficiency ratings for quarterbacks, which is a huge number, you know, Will Grier, mm-hmm. Among the top 6-8 quarterbacks, the only one returning in the Big 12. You know, when you get past, I mean, last year's pass efficiency leaders in the Big 12 were Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, Will Grier at West Virginia,
right.
Nick Chmielewski, Jesse Ertz at Kansas State, and Kenny Hill at TCU. They're all gone. Only Will Grier returns, and it's why he was the preseason Offensive Player of the Year pick, and it's why a lot of people look at West Virginia and say, man, if Dana Holgorsen can cobble together some defense, then you know they can be right there. And that's why I think today's group are really intriguing because, you know, when you look at Cliff Kingsbury and Texas Tech, they return just 5 starters on their offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 31% of their offensive production is back. That's it. They lost the most offensive production of any team in the Big 12 and the 4th most in the FBS. So they are totally rebuilding their offense.
Will they have enough to get it together? I mean, because you can say what you want about that defense getting better, but how much better is it really going to be? How consistent over couple years will that defense
be? People are skeptical, and rightfully so, of that. How much better? But I will say, I mean, Texas saw it in November last year in that that horrible loss that Texas had. That defense was better. Now, Texas' offense is bad and made a lot of bad defenses look better than
they
are. Which
they should have won the game. I mean, yes.
Yeah, they should have. But the Red Raiders returned 9 starters. 96% of their defensive production from 2017 is back. And, you know, they brought in David Gibbs, the defensive coordinator, 2 years ago.
Right.
And you're starting to pay some dividends. They brought him in from Houston and from the U of H. And he is really starting to pay some dividends on that side of the ball. Can it transition? Because they're going to need him. Because this isn't an offense that's going to be clicking from the jump. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Flip side of that is TCU. And Gary Patterson will be the first coach up today. You know, Gary Patterson, his defense is built. His defense is set. I mean, he's got Ben Benagu, who's going to be the Big 12 defensive player, preseason player of the year. But he's one of those sack artists off the edge for a Gary Patterson defense. Had 8.5 sacks last year. But as we mentioned, Phil Steele has, he ranks position groups. Phil Steele has TCU as the number one set of defensive linemen in the Big 12, linebackers and secondary.
Right.
So you tell me you're giving me that with Gary Patterson. It comes down to Sonny Cumbie in the offense and replacing key guys on the offensive line. But he's got weapons in the backfield. They've got weapons on the outside. The story of this will be offensive line and Sean Robinson, who is the young quarterback who led DeSoto to a state title. The fact that Gary Patterson brought him here, he'll be here today.
That's right.
Means he likes him a lot, or at least you'd lead him to believe, because a lot of coaches aren't bringing their quarterbacks, that it's settled that he's your guy. And then, you know, and if they can play some offense, their defense is going to be great. Then you look over at Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma here in our coach's corner. OU replaces the Heisman Trophy winner and two-time Big 12 Player of the Year in Baker Mayfield. You know, how does that play out quarterback-wise in Oklahoma?
But we know they have veterans on their offense. They have some veteran guys that are pretty damn good. I mean, they have stars.
Yeah, up front.
Yeah.
Outside in CeeDee Lamb.
Now, your star running back, and they'll find another running back. He won't be alone, believe me. Rodney Anderson won't be alone.
No.
They always have one.
No, they've
or
got
two
players. And so that's – but, you know, where is their defense becomes a question. I mean, you know, they don't have anybody – they don't have one member of that all preseason, all Big 12 defense.
Which is real interesting to me right there.
Yeah, so, I mean –
because they're pretty decent in the secondary, so I would think that one of those guys would have made it out of their secondary, which is interesting there, and they didn't.
No.
They didn't. You got groups like from Kansas that have three guys.
Well, Mike Stoops is always the guy that people at Norman like to punch on, and because, you know, there were times last year that defense was terrible early, and then they got better as the year went on. But guess what? When they needed them most with a big lead in the national championship semifinal,
couldn't stop the run game.
All of a sudden, they couldn't stop that Georgia running game and gave up big plays. And Georgia didn't even have to throw the ball to get back into it.
No.
They were able to hand it off, and that was frustrating for a lot of Oklahoma fans. So those are three key storylines, and I'd hate to neglect Iowa State because Matt Campbell, the third-year coach, one of the rising stars in the coaching ranks, will be here. He's got an established quarterback, and Kyle Kemp, he'll be back. Kyle was just behind Charlie Brewer in pass efficiency. And Charlie will be here tomorrow, I'm assuming, with Baylor and the Baylor Bears. But, Matt Campbell's team went 8-5 last year. They upset Oklahoma. They beat some good teams last year in college football. You wonder what that looks like for Iowa State. So those are your 5-4 teams. And then Kansas is here, of course, with Dave Beatty. But, you know, as we sit right across from Cliff Kingsbury's podium, he will speak today. He wouldn't be here if not for that win over Texas. I mean, they were.
I don't think he would have. He was on the way out.
That's incredible that they, you know, when Sam Ellinger threw that interception late in the fourth quarter, driving to secure a victory for Texas, and a hard fought victory, and Texas finishes.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury made $2 million right there.
Yeah,
or two and a half, or whatever he gets paid, he made that because he gets another year.
People still
of paychecks.
Cuss, Tom Herman and Tim Beck for calling the play, but then Sam Ellinger drops back on a third down and, you know, just run the ball. And
desperation, he flings it.
Yeah, it just wasn't there. And then he throws a really bad pass across the middle that gets picked off. And not only picked off, but taken back to put Tech into great field position to go ahead and win that game. If not for that, there's a different coach here representing Texas Tech. I mean, he's
– I believe so.
I mean, you know, the AD afterwards went into the locker room and, you know, that was a huge win for them to come into Austin and upset the Longhorns and beat Texas.
It's been back-to-back years.
I know.
I mean, the last two times Tech was here – in Austin, they won those games.
Yeah.
In Austin.
Yeah. Texas won the last time they went to Lubbock.
They've won the last four times.
Yeah. Well, last time was big Deontay Foreman running for 300 yards and having that huge game.
But when you look at Iowa State, and if you look at Oklahoma and where they stand, and this is an Oklahoma group, if you look at their schedule, I think scheduling is going to be important. We look at the schedules, of teams early. Teams have some big games, when you're playing, when you got – UCLA and people like that on your schedule, I like it. I do. I like it. I think but Oklahoma, they're not going to, as much as Iowa State is as good as they've gotten and Coach Campbell's really kind of turned that program around, the Sooners don't go there and worry about that. You know what I'm saying?
They beat them in Norman last year.
I know, but they go play. They still, in their minds, right. they'll go play. They'll think hard about what happened last year, but expectations are they're going to win that. They're going to win the game.
That won't be an easy game for them. I don't think there's any doubt because Oklahoma's, you know, game one, Florida Atlantic, they'll blow that out. That's a stat game. But then UCLA in Norman with Chip Kelly, bringing in a new system. There'll be a transition phase there. And then, yes, the trip to Ames, Iowa, week three, really, really intriguing. For TCU, totally different animal. They open with Southern, then go to SMU, and then Ohio State here in the Metroplex.
And they should have that thing kind of fine-tuned in those first two games.
Think about that. They play Ohio State, then Texas.
Yes.
Texas plays USC when USC's coming off a Stanford game the week before, and then Texas will play.
Yeah, early season games. There's some big early season games that could determine from an injury standpoint and a fatigue standpoint and what you're like the following
week. I mean, Texas will know by week five what they are. I mean, that's what we've talked about with the Longhorns. I mean, they open with Maryland, which, you know, that's a Big Ten team, but you got to go find a way to win that game. Mm-hmm. Then Tulsa. But then that four-game stretch to me that will define the Texas season where they play USC, TCU, Oklahoma, and Kansas State. I mean, that'll tell you what you are. I mean, you'll know. I mean, is Texas a contender? Are they something to be messed with in the Big 12 this year and deal with? Or is it still running in place Texas? And we'll know pretty quick.
You'll know about the quarterback at Oklahoma because they could go into the Texas game being 6-0.
Very well.
They
good.
Actually could be. So you'll know how good things are going for Lincoln Riley in the first six games or the game before up here in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl.
Quick timeout. We're going to talk TCU football with the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs coming back. His preview of Gary Patterson's great team. Do they have the best defense in the Big 12? What is Sean Robinson all about? And, hey, how about Chris Del Conte? He used to be at TCU. Now he's at Austin. And with the Longhorns, what does he think of that move as well? It's B&E on a busy Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, we're back live on Radio Row at Big 12 Football Media Days, presented by Reliable Automotive. Keep it local, keep it reliable. We're local all day till 3 o'clock here on Radio Row for day one of 2 days of Big 12 football conversation. Five teams and coaches and players today, five more tomorrow, including the Longhorns. But today, one of the centers of attention will be the TCU Horned Frogs and Gary Patterson, the most established coach in the Big 12, bringing a heck of a defense, questions at quarterback on the offensive line. And to talk some Horned Frogs, let's bring in the voice of TCU football, who along with his color commentator John Denton and sideline reporter Landry Burdine, who's a good friend of the show, have been named the top radio team in Texas six of the past 9 years.
Wow.
Brian Estrich is here. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. That's only because Craig doesn't send a tape in.
They're right.
Yeah.
He hides the tapes, doesn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. He won't send a tape in. That's the only reason why.
Well, it's good to see
you. Good to see you, man.
This weekend or these couple days always kind of mark the start of the countdown, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the unofficial start. What are we, 39 days out from the start of football? Not necessarily for every team in the building, but still. And, you know, it's interesting because you brought up that TCU will be a topic of conversation. You know, I think Gary Patterson would like it not to be topic of conversation. He's one of those guys that loves to be picked sixth or seventh and, you know, have his back against the wall and try to prove people wrong instead of proving people right. But, you know, a little bit of that this year, as you mentioned, with the question marks at offensive line and quarterback, there's still a lot to prove.
Yeah. You know, last year at this time, he was not, though. Last year,
right.
Gary was here with a suit and coat on,
yeah.
and he was smiling, and he wanted to talk to everybody. He wanted to talk about his team and how he was excited about it. You guys had a really hard road schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But Gary was up to the task. I mean, he had a smile. I thought Gary Patterson at this time in his career would be thinking about, you know, it's getting towards that time. And last year he had so much energy.
Yeah, and I think he's got a lot more this year as well, maybe channeled a little differently. Last year he knew he had a pretty good football team, I think. I think he was confident going in that he had an offensive line that was going to be back, and he had some experience on defense. I think he was excited this year because there's a lot of really good young talent. There's a lot of question marks with that talent, but I think he has seen his roster improve over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, that the talent level has really – and he loves the kids. He's talked about the character of this group a lot.
Well, Phil Steele has them ranked at the number one defensive line unit, linebacker unit, and secondary in the Big 12. And, you know, for anybody that's watched Gary Patterson, you give Gary Patterson a defense that's loaded. You know, it's going to be the question at quarterback and on the offensive side of the ball.
What's funny, though, is he'll take that, what Phil wrote, and he'll take the fact that there are others who are saying it's the best defense in the league, but he also points to the fact that he only had one player on the preseason all-defensive team. So he'll use that as, you know, hey, they're disrespecting us.
Yeah, yeah.
How can we be the best,
right,
but only have one guy who's an all-conference performer? What does that say about it? So, yeah, but I think it's going to come down to the offense. I think the defense is going to be fine. I think they'll be solid. You've got a young quarterback in Sean Robinson who has a ton of talent, highly recruited, was a number two quarterback coming out of high school, obviously, in DeSoto. His dad's a coach. You know, he's got all the intangibles, you know, his leadership and things of that nature. But can he be a guy that gets it done on a week-in and week-out basis in this league? It's going to take a little bit of help up front with that offensive line.
Well, as Bucky mentioned, last year Gary was talking about, man, this road schedule. Man, we've got to go on the road to Norman and all these tough road games.
Right.
This year, a little more friendly. You've got to come to Austin, of course, and
yep.
You go to West Virginia. But a manageable schedule, I think you would feel comfortable
manageable with. Manageable in the home dates, but look at the September schedule. That's what's going to be so difficult for this team, I think. Much like Texas. Texas has a really difficult September. TCU mm-hmm. does as well. Ohio State's on there. You know, that's one. But, you've got some I think if they can survive the month of September, then this can be a really special season for TCU.
Yeah, I think it defines where you're going to kind of early.
Yeah, you know, five games in September wrapped up with Iowa State.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing Ohio State in game three, you'll know a lot about yourself.
Sure.
Just like Texas. Once they get to USC, they're going to know a lot about themselves too. And those are games that, you know, some would say, well, it really doesn't matter into what you're trying to do in the Big 12. Your first goal is to win the Big 12.
Right.
And to play these national powerhouses, that's nice. You win the first two, that third one that's anybody's ball game to me. You come in 2-0, and I don't care who you play, if it's USC, if it was Notre Dame, if
sure.
it was Alabama, you feel like you're pretty confident in what you can do. And if you don't come out ahead, you still can get a lot of positives out of those games,
but
I believe.
Here's the thing, though, if you don't come out ahead, you guys have seen the signage that they have in the arena here, in the Star. One of them is the toughest road to the CFP.
Yeah.
And I was talking with someone earlier, is that something you brag about?
Yeah.
And I guess it is something you brag about. But it does point out the fact that if you stump your toe in that game in game three, can you come back in the Big 12 and get back in the CFP?
Now, if you
had Baker Mayfield, like
if you had those kind
of players.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can a TCU lose to Ohio State in week three, run the table in the Big 12, go to the championship game?
Maybe not.
They may not get in.
Well, and the flip side of that is if you win that game, now it's a huge advantage,
right,
because you've beaten a Titan from outside of the Big 12.
And you might be able to lose a game in the Big 12.
That's
if
right.
you beat Ohio State.
Yes.
That's right. And
yeah.
It's on a neutral site in Arlington, Jerry World.
Yep.
So that'll be a really intriguing game. Should be a, you know, there'll be a ton of Buckeye fans there.
Oh, yeah, we'll be. Yeah.
But,
you say neutral site. I think both teams are claiming it as a home field.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there are a lot of Buckeyes in Texas.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
They'll travel like crazy.
And you don't blame them. I mean, you've been to Ohio. It's good to get out.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I did. I got out when I was 8 years old.
There you go.
Thanks to my parents. Brian Estridge is with us, voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. All right, so you got to know Chris Del Conte very well.
Yes.
We're getting to know him. He's been in on the post for 6-8 months now and
right.
really making an impact. I mean, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. He's winning the PR battle. What do Longhorn fans have to look forward to in Chris Del Conte?
I think you've got a guy who is a big idea guy. I think he goes by the philosophy of all my pencils have erasers. So let's try it. If it doesn't work, let's erase it, and we'll try something else. I don't think you've got a guy who's going to be, he's not going to be backed into a corner or, you know, you can't define him with a box, in other words. He's going to work outside of it. He's going to try to be creative. I think he's not going to take, well, this is the way we've always done it. That's not going to fly with Chris Del Conte because he's going to ask why and why and why and why. And so I think you've got a really creative guy. Now, at times we joke that he can be a moth in a lampshade because he's all over the place.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. And I think he's going to be a breath of fresh air in Austin. I think you're going to like him.
It must work out pretty well because TCU is a private school that has a lot of money. Texas
yeah.
has really a lot of money.
Yep.
And a guy like him can, as you said, he can explore all
–
he can go all kinds of directions.
Yeah.
And get things done in that way. And it looks like that's what he's doing now. He's trying a little bit of everything.
Oh,
He's going to change game day and everything else that Texas has kind of let drag for a while.
And he loves winning. And that's important.
Yeah, well, I think it's hugely important because Longhorn fans haven't been winning. And
yeah.
Since he's been, you know, the Longhorns made a run to the College World Series, and
right.
People are getting excited again.
Is he taking credit for that, too?
No, he's not. No,
okay.
He's not.
Not
no,
yet.
Not. he does get credit for tearing down a wall and Occupy Left Field came back, and
there
that was a big hit. But one other thing that I think is interesting is what I've been told with Chris Del Conte, Buck, and Brian, is we brought in Sean Eichhorst, who had been at Nebraska.
Former AD.
And former AD to be kind of his internal operations guy. Drew Martin comes in from Fort Worth where, you know, he's going to be the external operations guy and help put on Bevo Boulevard and the game day atmosphere and everything that's external, including Longhorn Network. Chris Plonsky will be kind of the liaison with the athletes.
Yep.
Chris Del Conte right now for the next several years, his main job is to gonna raise money.
That's what he is so good at, and that's what he loves doing. You know, I mean, we always joke to always keep your hand on your wallet when you're around it because he's going to find a way into
it. And he doesn't
mind
asking.
He does not mind. That's the other thing is, and it's hard to tell him no.
He's going to demand a big salary because his suits are
– Oh, my.
I mean, his clothes are going to cost a fortune.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. I want you guys to check this. Over the next year, I want you to – you'll watch him every day. Tell me if you ever see him repeat a combo.
No.
You'll never will.
I'm sure he's already got his own custom tailor there in Austin.
He will never repeat.
And his new home probably has to have his own closet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his wife's closet will not be as big as
you'll never see the same sport coat and tie together.
Let me roll back to TCU real quick before we wrap up our conversation. I know you got to go back to your show, which we appreciate a few minutes with you. The quarterback, Sean Robinson, you mentioned from DeSoto. The weapons, I mean, if the offensive line comes together, I mean, Darius Anderson is as talented a running back as there is in this conference.
Back off the injury,
Kevontae Turpin is somehow still there. It seems like he's been there 100 years.
I don't know how you guys do that.
And then Jalen Austin. This guy can be a very special
player. Jalen Austin. To me, though, the guy that is really special is Jalen Rager, who was just a freshman last year. Jalen Austin is a terrific, experienced senior wide receiver. I'm not going to call him a possession guy because I think that limits him. But Jalen Rager is a game changer. You know, he's a game breaker. And I think that he's a guy that will be a difference maker for him if that offensive line can somehow give Sean a little bit of time. And don't sleep on Shewo Olanolua, the bigger back.
And Brian, is the reason why Sean is here, is he here because this is a bone for him and Gary, I want you in this as a sophomore? Or is it because he thinks he really, really is a special quarterback?
No, I think he thinks he's a special player, but it's also Gary saying, it's your team. Let me see you be a leader. Let me see you take it on. Let me see how you
handle it. Interesting because that's not happening in Austin at this point. But
and this is a totally different approach by Gary Patterson. He's never done this before.
Okay.
Never done it before.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Sean Robinson, the highest recruited quarterback he's ever brought in.
Ever.
I mean, this was the second-rated quarterback. Everybody wanted him all over the country, and he'll now be taking the reins of the TCU offense with Sonny Cumbie. Brian, we appreciate you.
Hey, guys.
We know you're busy.
So good to see you, man. We'll visit for the next couple of days.
All right, man. Great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Yep. All right, there it is. And we'll see him in Austin coming up when TCU comes to Austin in September, part of that gauntlet of September that Brian talked about with Ohio State. They play at SMU in that, what do they call it, the frying pan game or whatever. And then they play Southern, that SMU, Ohio State and Arlington, come to Austin, and then host Iowa State. That's all in September. They have five games before a bye week. But as he said, if they can manage that, they can be there. But this is the year, Buck. You know, when Kenny Hill moves on, this is kind of the year where I see Gary Patterson, you know, he for so long had built his program on, you know, these 2- and 3-star athletes who would come in and they'd coach the hell out of them and develop them and you know, they'd turn into star players. This is now becoming a group of highly recruited players. I mean,
they're stars when they come in.
I mean, Sean Robinson's was a high 4.5- to 5-star quarterback.
I saw him in high school.
Jalen Rager was a star. I mean, this is now established program in the Big 12, and now Gary Patterson can go head to head win some of these recruiting battles for the top players in
the
state of Texas. How does that play out now on both sides of the ball? I think a lot of people are going to say that
could
be very, very scary.
11 games. It is. That's what you're going to do. Recruiting.
Yeah. They went 11-3 last year, and you know, played Oklahoma in that Big 12 championship game, and here they are back as one of the favorites in the Big 12. But yes, offensive line, new quarterback. A lot of weaponry, but if you can't block and tackle, you're going to be in trouble, especially against the Buckeyes, the Longhorns, and Iowa State. Will have a pretty salty group on defense again this year for Matt Campbell. Those are their three tough games in September. All right, quick timeout. There's Brian Estrich. That's interesting. I was talking with him. He almost became the voice of Texas A&M football.
Oh, really, this year?
Yeah, he was the leading contender to replace Dave South. on the football broadcast and basketball, and it got down to the wire, and he decided to stay at TCU, where he's been very, very happy. And
absolutely,
he's doing
man.
Does a show on WBAP.
Living in the Fort Worth area?
Yeah.
Compared to down at the station?
You know,
the station?
But he was their choice, by all accounts. I wouldn't say that to Brian, but he was the guy, and he decided to stay at TCU, so they turned their attention elsewhere. But because, you know, it's SEC Media Day as well, and all eyes will be on Jimbo Fisher today in Atlanta when SEC Media Days gets going. All right, we'll come back. We'll take your thoughts there. Wags, Adam Wagner, our producer, will lead us through Hot or Not, some other topics of the day. We'll also reset your headlines coming up. We have a World Cup champion. Also, baseball's All-Star break is here. The Midsummer Classic is on tap this week. Plenty to do, but it's all about football as we count it down. It's Big 12 Football Media Days live here in Frisco, Texas, on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot and what's not?
All right, it is B&E on the Horn, Hot or Not, with Brad Kellner is on his way here. He'll be here today. You took him to the track yesterday, and would you make him a couple $100, he said. We don't have to tell his secrets, but that's a good thing. Speaking of having money, you see the World Series of Poker winner won $8.8 million. $8.8 million for winning the World Series of Poker. World Cup belongs to the French. They take it down. They've been the dominant team in the force for the last month, and they took down Croatia 4-2 yesterday. That was certainly hot. On the very, very hot side will be Austin, Texas today, 99 to 100 degrees today, and this is going to launch a string of triple-digit temperatures. It's going to be
week
a
long.
Really, really hot week. Really hot. Coming up 1 hour from now, I'm going to get you some salacious gossip, including a guy who hired his neighbor to try to impregnate his wife, and it did not work.
Hired his neighbor to impregnate his wife.
Because he couldn't. I got to get you this story. You won't believe it.
They must be really close.
And the wife was skeptical, but the neighbor was like, sure.
Why not?
Why not? But there's a twist to the story, too, that I'm going to have to get you. And
okay.
Now there's a lawsuit going on, which is not good.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It always has to end that way, doesn't it?
Typically. Well, when you ask your neighbor to impregnate your wife, that's typically not going to end well. But speaking of impregnated on Hot or Not, Kate Upton with child. Props to Justin Verlander. I'm assuming he did it, not his neighbor. I'm assuming it was Justin, and they will have their first child coming up. But All-Star game. Wags is in the house. Adam Wagner, our Marine and veteran, is running the show back at the Horn headquarters. What's up, Wags? How you doing? Happy
What's
Monday.
What's up, boss? Happy Monday to you as well, and Buck. Hey, the neighbor that tried to impregnate the wife, were they from Florida? Just a guess.
No.
Always
no,
those
no,
stories
no,
happen
no,
in
no,
Florida.
No, just no, a guess. No. Then I'll tell you that story. Actually, we don't have to wait till Salacious Gossip. I'll get you that after the top of the hour. But you go ahead and take it away, Wags.
All right, guys. Today is National Personal Chef Day. Now, obviously, if we all had the money and the means, we would probably want a personal chef. But Hot or Not, you guys big on a personal chef? Just curious.
Well, if I can make Jack Gilmore my personal chef.
Ooh. Oh, from Jack Allen's Kitchen?
Yeah. If I can get Jack Gilmore to come to my home and fix me dinner three times a week. Well, first of all, I got to get a dishwasher first at my place where I live. Oh, if I can get Jack Gilmore to come to my wife's place and cook for us three times a week.
What do you need a dishwasher
for? Her house?
Just wash the dishes. You don't have to have a machine to wash them.
Oh, no, you don't. I mean,
you
I
know you can actually wash them.
Yes. Like we used to do before we had dishwashers,
that's
as a
right,
matter of fact.
That's right.
Yes, I would take Jack Gilmore to be my personal chef three times a week at my wife's home, not my home.
Who's the guy with Tom Brady? I mean, I'd get Tom Brady's guy. You know, Brady's got it going on.
But you don't want to eat that stuff. But you don't want to eat that stuff.
I would, though.
You would go down that aisle with that?
I would. But that guy, he's getting
fresh
younger.
Tossed salads?
Yes. He's
really?
Getting younger as he goes. Like, this guy is not aging. He's actually, he looks better now than he did when he was 25. This guy's unbelievable. So whatever he's eating and whatever Giselle's doing, whatever, and that chef is doing, it's working for my man TB.
Definitely looks TB better 12. Than his scouting combine picture, that's for sure.
Exactly. I'd jump in on that deal.
And I know Giselle's not doing runway stuff anymore, but she's still modeling. I saw her in Vogue, and yo. I just happened to pick Vogue up. I didn't go buy Vogue.
Oh, that's
just,
a very lovely. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, she's been one of the top paid models forever. I ate at a place right here in Frisco, right here in the Star Complex, right across the street from the football field last night when I got in town. The Tri-Tip Grill, and I had a wonderful salmon salad. Like it was
okay.
Oh, see, if I had a personal, but I could eat salmon or fish. For almost
that
every
kind of fish
meal.
Is fantastic
yeah.
too.
Yeah, if it's done right.
It's so good. If it's done right, it's so great. And so, yeah, that would be – I'd go to the TB12. I would do that just for a year and see what happens. See what happens. Wags, what else do we have on a Hot or Not Monday?
All right, fellas. Tonight starts off the festivities of the Home Run Derby for the MLB. And we got the Home Run Derby for All-Star break, as you were. But the MLB is actually doing a Home Run Derby tonight. Bryce Harper, second in the National League with 23 round-trippers. He's actually the favorite here at 11-4 odds. You guys hot or not on Bryce Harper actually winning the Home Run Derby? Now, I know there's only one AL guy out there, and that's E's
Bregman.
It's actually Bregman, right?
Yeah,
Alex Bregman. I mean, I saw Bregman hit a home run on Friday night at the Astros game, and he's got 20. I mean, people look at Bregman and see the slightest size, but he's got such a quick, compact swing. He centers up the ball as good as anybody. And he was asked about this thing tonight, screwing up his swing, and he said, you know what, that's what I do in batting practice, try to jack home runs anyway, so I'm good. And I think people, if you get to know Bregman, he is such a brash young kid. He's so cocky, but kind of a good cocky because he's not arrogant with his teammates. His teammates love him. He's just one of those guys who just thinks knows they're really good and go about their business. But he's a great teammate, but it's fun that he's in this thing. He will get Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs in the first round.
Yeah,
in this deal, Freddie Freeman of the Braves is not to be slept on as well, and Javi Baez of the Cubs is another one I would watch for. But I mean, to me, it's a whoever gets out of that Bregman Schwarber match, Bryce Harper's the favorite. It's his park.
Oh yeah,
it's his crowd. They're going to be going crazy. He hits natural. He hits natural bombs that just are majestic. But he and Freddie Freeman in the first matchup will be fun, and it wouldn't shock a lot of people to see Freeman beat him. Remember, the first round is timed, so you hit as many home runs as you can. They tried to shorten this thing, but I'll be excited to see Bregman because he does seem to do. If you saw Bregman in the postseason last year, he does not. He's not afraid of the big moment. He's not afraid to shine when the lights are the brightest, and the lights will be very bright tonight. So I would expect a good showing from Bregman tonight. But I think Bryce Harper has to be
I do
favorite.
Too. I would say the same.
Overall, you guys pleased with the selection of the Home Run Derby?
No. I mean, look. I mean, Aguilar, Hoskins, Muncy.
Yeah, Muncy.
Most people have never even heard of any of these people. No, I mean, I think you want household names. I mean,
well, you want Aaron Judge and those people hitting
in there. Stanton, right.
Judge.
But they don't want to screw with their swings. They just don't. Aaron Judge last year went into a slump right after this thing.
A month later.
And then he got benched, yeah.
And that's what Astro fans are worried about. But that's why I said Bregman said, nah, that's why I do home batting practice anyhow. So we'll be good. Yeah, I'd love to see some bigger names. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
All right, boys, that's all we got for Hot or Not.
All right, nice job. There you go. There's your Hot or Not. Well, so with that in mind, I'll get you this story. BK, or Wags and Buck, because here it is. This is from Stuttgart, Germany.
Oh, international, European
Germany.
There, Buck.
Yes. I'm just going to read the story as it writes here in the paper.
That's the wife.
That's the wife right there that you can see. Lovely, lovely lady. A court judge must decide on a case of honorable intentions in a situation where a man hired his neighbor to get his wife pregnant. It seems that Demetrius Sopolis, 29, and his former beauty queen wife, Trout, how do you say that? T-R-A-U-T-E, wanted a child badly, but Demetrius was told by a doctor that he was sterile. So did a smart thing, calmed his wife's protests, and hired his neighbor, 34-year-old Frank Mouse. Frank Mouse, M-A-U.
The old mouse came to town, huh?
Yeah, Frank Mouse.
There's a mouse in the house.
To impregnate her. Since Mouse was already married and the father of two children, plus they looked very much alike, Sopolis thought this would be a good idea. So he paid Mouse $2,500 for the job for 3 evenings a week for the next 6 months.
What a stud fee.
Yeah.
I would have asked for more.
3 evenings a week for the next 6 months.
I'd have done it for 50.
Mouse tried. Let me finish. Mouse tried desperately a total of 72 times to impregnate Mrs. Sopolis. Didn't work. This is great. When Trout did not get pregnant after 6 months, Sopolis insisted that Mouse go for a medical exam, which revealed that he too was sterile. And then his wife was forced to confess that he was not the father of their 2 kids.
Oh, my God.
That's not right.
What do you mean? Guy comes to the house.
72 times?
Hey, listen, she's a beauty queen, right? And she's jogging, and then he comes to your door and says, hey, can you come impregnate my wife? Sure. Are you going to tell him you're sterile?
Did he get to go to lunch with her or anything? Did they go to lunch?
I don't think so. I think he just went, he probably went out to eat, go to the bar while he came over 3 nights a week.
Oh, my God. That's a crazy story.
I couldn't do that.
In a way, that's a fantastic story, though.
Well, I don't know what the judge is going to decide here, but we'll keep you posted
on that.
That's
deception.
Deal. Oh, yeah.
And it's fullest. I mean, but anybody that's crazy enough to actually do that or to say that, I don't get it. I don't get how you can possibly do that.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the story from Stuttgart, Germany. We'll come back. It is Big 12 Football Media Days. Gary Patterson just walked in and walked by. We'll try to grab him at some point this morning before his press conference. We've got Max Olson from The Athletic, who covers the Big 12 Conference. He's going to jump on with us as well. Gary Patterson, as we mentioned, from TCU in the house. We'll try to see if we can snag him as well. Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com going to stop by at some point as well.
This is his house.
Yeah, this is his house in Frisco. It's B&E, Big 12 Media Days, presented by Reliable Automotive, live here on the Horn.